Well, this whole tiny home thing is really intriguing from a whole bunch of standpoints. People of a certain age, like certain morning hosts, are kind of excited about the idea of housing that's all on one floor. So you don't have to do a lot of stairs, perhaps. There's some options for low-income housing, options for seniors. They seem to have a whole bunch of potential, but some common zoning laws have made them a little bit of a challenge in terms of putting them in Duluth. Interim Director of Duluth's Planning and Development Division, Adam Fulton, joins us this morning to kind of remind us a little bit where we are in the process. The City Council had been asked to take a look at some of those zoning regulations, and Adam's going to bring us up to speed. Hey, Adam, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, good morning, Lisa. Thanks for having me.
So part of the problem, as I understand, is that in order to build a house, it has to be a minimum size according to current zoning regulations. And I suppose that was to keep people from building tiny houses before it was on purpose and just making really wretched living spaces for people.
Well, I think what we've noticed is that there are regulations that go hand in hand, and those are the building code and those are the zoning code. And so the state building code didn't necessarily address some things related to small houses that we wanted to do better in the zoning code. And some of those state building code standards have been updated. And so our modifications now to allow for smaller houses really do get at some of the things that the building code has already improved on so that we can be sure that we will have a high-quality house whenever somebody comes forward to build something new.
Right. I was thinking, you know, maybe 100 years ago, they said, no, you can't build a 10-foot square house. That's just wrong, to try to protect people because, of course, for the most part, a lot of the rules and regulations are trying to make things nice for people. So the building codes have already been updated, and our zoning codes are just trying to switch to keep up. Is that the thing?
That's right. We're catching up, and we've recognized that doing density in our neighborhoods is something that we want to do very carefully. We want to make sure that new development is really consistent with what the neighborhood looks like. And so when you do something like a tiny house or an accessory dwelling unit, we want to make sure that it fits in, that it's something that blends with the existing neighborhood character. And so that's what these new regulations do, is look at how that can happen consistent with what our neighborhoods look like. And we can add units without creating really massive disruption within our existing neighborhood fabric.
There are so many people now that are really excited about the idea of urban gardening. And while a house on some of our smaller city lots, a conventional home on some of our smaller city lots, doesn't give you a lot of outdoor living space, a tiny home on a lot like that, you know, you might feel like you've got acreage almost.
It definitely could feel a little bit bigger. Tiny houses come in all kinds of different shapes and sizes. When these were looked at by the Planning Commission, there was really just one aspect that they really honed in on, and that was to make sure that tiny houses in Duluth are constructed on a permanent foundation, that they're connected to utilities, and they're constructed in such a manner that they fit in with the neighborhood. The concern being that the tiny houses that are on wheels, that are going to be transported from place to place, wouldn't really necessarily have that same capability of tying in with that neighborhood fabric. But certainly, if you're going to have a pretty small house and that's something that you're capable of living in, it would provide for more outdoor space and certainly more space for something like urban gardening.
Oh, I think that would be grand to have, you know, more. Well, I think if you're going to have a tiny house, especially during nice weather, in the magazines, of course, they've always got this, you know, a huge outdoor living space, or maybe the entire roof is, you know, a rooftop gathering place, for example. We've got lots that are 25 feet lots. Those seem extraordinarily small lots. What were you supposed to put on a 25-foot lot back in the day?
When you look at how the city of Duluth was platted, I don't remember the specific statistic, but it's a pretty high percentage of our lots that are actually platted at 25 feet. Cities were platted at 20 or 25 feet typically because cities were intended to be dense. They're supposed to be areas where people live close together. And so a 25-foot lot would be, you know, if you went back away, probably something that might have a row house on it, something that would be at a much higher level of density. We certainly still encourage that type of thing, but we also want to make sure that the code allows for construction of single-family detached housing, whereas a row house might be something that is attached and shared party walls. not as much light. The tiny houses, where they can fit, still have a side yard setback requirement, and it provides for that additional amount of light, windows on all sides, and things like that.
Nice. Nice. And you couldn't, maybe you could actually stand between the houses and not reach out your arms and touch both houses simultaneously. Sometimes that, I mean, living cheek to jowl is one thing, but sometimes the closeness of the houses, you kind of wish you had maybe just a little more separation. Now, tiny houses were just at the beginning of the tiny house thing, and sometimes they're defined as houses that are less than 400 square feet. But what Duluth has done, I think, is cool, is they're not defining a tiny house by its square footage. What was the idea behind that?
Well, the thought was there, and we allow accessory dwelling units already, which are just a house that is accessory to your primary dwelling unit. So maybe you have a 1,000 square foot house, you want to have another apartment in the back. That's something that's been allowed in code. The tiny houses, we didn't want to be prescriptive about it, and actually the zoning code won't have a definition for the term tiny house, because a tiny house is just someone's house. It doesn't have to be necessarily considered tiny. And as a house, it can be any size, and that's important to us, to make sure that as residents create new living opportunities within the city, that they find the best experience for what they're looking for. And, you know, as we look at this, tiny houses can be smaller, or they can be, you know, a little bit bigger. They can also be clustered together. And so we also created what's called a cottage house opportunity, where you would have a cottage house development that would have essentially multiple tiny houses on a single lot.
Depending on the lot, that could be a little much. But, of course, you follow what your friends are interested in on social media, and I have a lot of older friends that are looking at these tiny house developments, you know, that a group of friends gets together, or retired people, and they have kind of the advantages of a communal living situation and folks looking after one another, but there's a little bit of separateness and a little bit of your own privacy also.
That's right, and I think it's important to note that we really thought a lot about the neighborhood character when that provision was designed. Anything that would seek to cluster some tiny houses together would require a special use permit. It requires neighborhood review. We want to make sure that people who pursue something like that are providing for parking, so we don't have a parking problem within our neighborhoods. And we want to also make sure that we are providing for some shared open space, so that you can do things like a shared gardening area or something of that nature when you're doing something that puts several of these together.
You can have your tiny house, but only if you have a tiny car. I think that would be the next perfect plan. So tell me a little bit about, I had it right on the tip of my tongue, and I hate it when that happens. Oh, basements, permanent foundations. Duluth is such a challenging city to construct in because we're sitting on a big rock. A permanent foundation could also be a slab. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think what's important to note about tiny houses is that for our purposes, they can have a basement. They could be on a slab. We're not prescriptive about that. What's important to us is that they're connected permanently to city water and sewer. Essentially, if it's something that's built on a trailer or a chassis, that's something that would be considered a recreational vehicle. Certainly still allowed in appropriate locations within the city, but not something that we necessarily are prepared for within our residential neighborhoods yet. Something that we would still consider under evaluation within the zoning code.
Now, some of these tiny homes are prefab. Of course, part of the charm of the idea is that, you know, you could get in and you could design your own. But we talk so much about affordable housing. We talk so much about how mortgages in many instances are out of the range of many people. And I know that my mortgage is still substantially lower than most people's rent. In this town, is there a possibility? Does the city know of any organizations that might take a look at this and say, hey, you know, we're going to come in, we're going to buy up a little bit of land, and we're going to make a tiny house development, or we're going to buy these little scattershot 25-foot lots around the city, and we're going to plop a nice little prefab tiny home on it, and ta-da!
I would say the inquiries that we've received about tiny houses since this regulation was adopted by the city council have been predominantly single individuals seeking to construct a tiny house. I expect that as you know, there's broader awareness of the regulation, we may see some developments proposed. As we look at this, we've tried to create a process that's fairly streamlined and simplified. But the reality is with tiny houses that they are still fairly new to the market, and it's something that developers haven't tested. So it's important that our lending partners are thinking about this as well. And excited that we've had some interest from lending groups within the city of Duluth, banking groups, that have indicated essentially that they will allow some modifications to their underwriting standards when they're doing a loan or a mortgage to try to make it possible to do this with a tiny house. You know, that's one of the restrictions when you're trying to do a house is it's complicated to try to figure out how to get a construction loan and switch that to a permanent mortgage. And so as we think about how these are financed, the cooperation and participation of lending institutions is very important as well.
I was just thinking of that as you were talking, because I think I looked into at one point, I looked into buying a, I thought, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a log cabin? But apparently trying to get them financed is a lot more difficult than a, you know, a conventional home. So it sounds like you really do have, especially if you're looking at trying to provide some low income financing, you really have to have those lenders on board.
You need the lenders, and you have to remember that hopefully when you build something that's smaller, it's going to cost less than a regular house. Many times when we think about the cost and the bundle of what creates a high level of housing cost, it is the construction. And so while some of the costs are fixed that are going to be similar for a tiny house, for example, putting in the utilities, that's going to be about the same as it would be if you were building a larger house. But if you're building a tiny house, you are not putting in as much lumber or as much siding. Your roof is not as large. You're not going to have as many fixtures. And so, you know, it overall, hopefully will help allow for some different kinds of housing that are at a lower price point.
We hope to be talking with Mayor Emily Larson next week, possibly, about Rebuild Duluth. How does the tiny house, the change in some of these zoning regulations, how does the tiny house piece fit into the whole Duluth trying to figure out how to solve this housing crunch?
Well, we're really excited about the Rebuild Duluth initiative, and I'm happy that you're going to be speaking with Mayor Larson. It's a great program. You can learn about it on our website within the Planning and Development Division, with that, the duluthmn.gov. We have many lots that are a little bit smaller within this program, and so there are opportunities for people to propose smaller houses that prior to adoption of these zoning standards would not have been possible. So we're looking for innovation in design, and one of the intents with this program is to try to create replicability. We want to see proposals here that are things that help us better understand how to construct new housing that is at a lower price point than what we're seeing today.
It is an exciting time to be a Duluthian. And if I could just get, I could get one tiny house to live in and then one tiny house for my books, I think I'd be set. Adam, thank you so very much for taking some time to talk with us this morning. What a treat. Thank you very much.
We're always happy to do it. Thank you.
Adam Fulton joins us this morning. He's the interim director of Duluth's Planning and Development Division. And we'll get some links set up so you can find out more information about some of the zoning changes that he was talking about and the Rebuild Duluth program.